Rockers in Recovery Media is dedicated to carrying the message of addiction recovery through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober community.
Hey, John Hollis with Rockers in Recovery. I want to welcome everybody to the show. And, of course, if you're listening in tonight, you could be listening anywhere on Rockers in Recovery at the, of course, Blog Talk Radio page. You can also be listening over at Facebook and all the rest of our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Google Plus, and all that. So we want to welcome you to the show. Tonight we got a great show. We have a great guest, Dick Conaboy, who I've met several years ago, and really, really, really great guy, and a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the recovery process and, you know, most importantly, how to get and maintain recovery. So I want to bring Dick on. We're going to talk tonight about acceptance and the treatment process. Dick, good evening. Thank you for coming on Rockers and Recovery Radio.
Good evening, John. Thank you for the privilege of being on your show. I really do appreciate it.
You know, Dick, it's you know, I've had the opportunity to sit down with you a few times and just chat, and I understand that you're a wealth of knowledge, but most importantly, you've gone through the process yourself. And through that process, you've really accomplished a lot over your lifespan of recovery and where you're at today. My question is to you tonight is the treatment process. As somebody that went through, you know, going into recovery and getting clean yourself and getting sober yourself, what helps you to motivate others to do the same thing?
Well, John, I think it's knowing that it's worked for me. I used for 22 years, and I've been sober for 32 years, and most of that is a direct result of knowing that this program absolutely works. I often say when I speak, it's not about me, it's about the program, and I am, as I said, very proud to be sober for 32 years, but I struggled in the beginning with that acceptance part that you and I were talking about earlier. I just think that if I can prove to people what I've gone through in my life and show them that I was able to maintain sobriety, I think that it helps them with their acceptance, too. I think, as you know, John, I got sober in 1985, and I actually learned more about acceptance in 1987. Early in 1987, my oldest daughter, who was 9 years old at the time, died very suddenly. She had not been sick. She got sick around December 22nd, and she died January 4th. And it was at that point where I really learned about acceptance. And I learned it by the people in these rooms coming and surrounding me at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia and then in Scranton when I got back home, taking me to meetings, coming with me to the funeral home, coming and doing all of the things that they did. And when I say they, I mean the people who were in recovery at the time, showed me the love and respect and help that I needed at the time to help me understand that I could get through this without drinking and drugging. Because up to that point, I had not done that. My first choice had always been, give me something to take this away. I don't care if it's a pill or a bag of dope or a bottle of beer or whatever it is. Just give me something. And it was, again, through the help of all of these people that I began to understand that I could actually do this without drinking or drugging.
Do you find that the process that you went through, and that's a hell of a thing in our condolences, that process was like almost like a firm bedrock to be able to continue on in your recovery process, but you also had to deal with that emotionally, right? So, I mean, you can't just, like, stick your head in the sand when you're going through something like that. You have to go through the acceptance process. How did you through that and not use?
Absolutely, and I trusted at that point in my life, not before then, as I said, I really white-knuckled it for the first year and a half that I was sober. Our good friend Nick Colangelo sent me to Alena Lodge in 1985, and I spent quite a few months at Alena Lodge. But when I came out, I did not trust the process the way that I learned to once my oldest daughter died. And by the way, I might just add that it happened again 5 years later. My infant daughter died of the same very rare cancer. But it is the process. It is the process of not drinking and drugging, going to meetings, talking to other drunks and drug addicts on a daily basis, working the steps with the sponsor, and praying. And if you trust that process, if you work through that process and work with that process, you're going to stay sober.
You know, it's the question, the age-old question, and you're hearing it more and more today that, you know, the 30-day cycle is just not enough to get somebody to that point of acceptance. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that, and that sounds strange coming from somebody who runs a 28-day program, but we tell the patients when they come in, we're not getting them sober. We're giving them the tools that they need to then go out and get sober. And I say, and again, it certainly worked in my case, the more treatment you get, the better off you're going to be and the better foundation you're going to build for your own sobriety and for your own sake. But 28 days, and in particular, as you know, now with this opioid crisis that's going on, the drugs are stronger and cheaper and more prevalent. But in particular, the strength of the drugs that's around is incredible. The stuff that I used to use, you know, 35, 40 years ago was nothing compared to what they're using today. And 28 days is just not enough. We're getting younger people. This 18 to 27-year-old age category in particular, they all think they're supermen and superwomen. And really what we're doing in 28 days is drying them out and giving them the tools that they need to then get out there and actually practice and adhere to the process.
And that process is joining and committing to some type of recovery fellowship program. May it be, you know, the 12-step process or smart recovery. There's so many other different options for people to be able to do that. That's part of that process. But, you know, aftercare and all of that has to be a part of it too. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I have spent probably close to 2 years in aftercare, John. I went to aftercare at Marworth after I got out of Alena Lodge on a weekly basis. And I think that aftercare is an incredibly paramount force in helping you to stay sober. I know Leo Vernetti runs our aftercare program here in Scranton every Thursday night, not just for the people from who happen to go through Clearbrook, but for anyone who wants to come to it. And he's got about 100 to 125 guys and women over there every Thursday night. And I am privileged to occasionally sit in for them. And I'll tell you, it's a very strong, very supportive meeting. And people go out of there smiling. And that's one of the important parts of this process.
Yeah, having that, you see the hope in their face. And, you know, that when you're smiling and you're letting go of stuff and you're able to just be, you know, as it is, just be. That's a huge, huge thing. You know, when you hit that,
sure,
you
is.
Know, some days. I don't hit it every day. I can tell you that, Dick.
No, nor do I. Nor do I.
But there's certain days where I'm there and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's happening, actually. You know, it's a good thing.
You mentioned hope, and that's probably the most important part of recovery, because I was hopeless when I came in. I came in as a result of a suicide attempt, not my first, but a suicide attempt. I woke up in treatment and was hopeless. And again, the process, the treatment process, getting me to acceptance was probably what, not probably, definitely what gave me hope and brought me back, told me I could do this.
I love your story, and I love your hope, because you're giving me hope, you're giving other people that are listening tonight hope, and people that will, you know, listen to this in the future. I want to let everybody know that we're talking with Dick Conaboy. He's from Clearbrook Treatment Centers. And Dick is the Vice President of Clinical Affairs at Clearbrook. And we have some great friends there and great people that we've met over the years up in that area. And Dick is one of them. And you can go to, of course, Clearbrook's website. And you can find that at clearbrookinc.com. That's clearbrookinc.com. And you can also call Dick. If you wanted to speak with him directly, you can call him at 888-414-4209. Again, that's 888-414-4209. And Dick, in closing, I want you to, you know, specifically talk with family members, because, you know, listen, when I was out there using, the last thing I wanted to do was listen to anybody. But the family members are the ones that are really trying to do something and motivate the addict or alcoholic to get into treatment. What would you say to a family member that's struggling tonight, or a family that's struggling with somebody that needs treatment?
Yeah, John, I would absolutely tell them, do not give up. My family, I come from a very loving family. My mom and dad are still alive. My dad's 92. My mom's 90. And I have 11 brothers and sisters.
But they didn't believe in TV, Dick?
Irish Catholics don't know what causes that, John. But I will tell you that the families are the most important part of recovery. If you can rebuild that hope that you have lost, and build on that agony that you're suffering with, because I know that it is not just the addict who suffers. It is their mother, their father, their brother, their sister, their loved one, whomever. If you can build on that hope and get them to treatment, we cannot do this alone. We can never do this alone. It is the family, it is the treatment providers, it is aftercare providers, it is an army of people. You know, it's the old Hillary Clinton, it takes a village. Well, it takes a village for us to get sober, too. But I'll tell you that Suzanne Jaffe loves hearing at our families, helping families meetings, when people stand up and say, I'm celebrating a year, I'm celebrating 6 months, I'm celebrating whatever. She loves hearing it because it gives her hope. And she said when she was waiting for her son to get sober and waiting for her husband to get sober, she lived on that hope that you hear in meetings.
Dick, families helping families. I want to touch on that before we go. What is that all about?
Families Helping Families is a group that started 15 years ago with 8 parents and Nick Colangelo and his wife, Trish Colangelo. And it was a support group for family members as well as recovering addicts to sit down with one another. We do a little lecture for an hour, and then we break into small groups of about 15 people or so. And addicts get to ask family members questions, and family members get to ask addicts questions. And we get to talk. It's not Al-Anon. It's not NA. It's not AA. It is just a group of recovering people, family members, as well as addicts getting together and talking about what's bothering them. but it has been extremely successful. It grew from those 8 people in Scranton to over 200 people. And we are now in 9 places throughout the state with 75 to 100 people in all of the places.
Amazing. You can check all of this out at clearbrookinc.com. Please check it out. This is great education and great information, and you can find all kinds of other things at the website. Dick, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. You're an awesome guy, and I love your message of hope. And thank you for being a part of Rockers in Recovery and being on the show tonight.
Well, John, thank you, and I feel the same way about you and about your program, and it's been a privilege. Thank you.
You bet, man. We'll talk soon. Thanks for being on.
We will. Have a Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas, Dick. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. I want to thank, of course, Dick and, of course, the folks at Clearbrook, Nicolangelo, Joe Mattioli, all the rest of the guys that make it possible for people to get help and make it possible that you need more information. They're there for you. You can reach out at 888-414-4209. Now listen, I'm far from a professional, but when we bring people on, we bring on professionals. So that way they can talk and they can give you a message, not only of the treatment process, but in some cases, like with Dick, a message of hope that will show you that recovery does work. Face of recovery. You know, I want to thank everybody for being on for being on and listening tonight. And we look forward to our next show tomorrow night. And God bless.
Rockers in Recovery Radio is based on opinion only and is not meant to treat or diagnose any health or mental health issue of any kind. If you feel you need help for any health-related issues, please contact a physician or mental health professional. The opinions expressed by our guests are not necessarily those of Rockers in Recovery.